chapter 1. If you want to turn in your Bibles this morning, James chapter 1. Oh, my wife and I have a milestone coming up too. I keep forgetting to share it. But in 1 month, the first week of September, was the week that we arrived in this beautiful country 30 years ago. So it'll be our 30th anniversary of arriving in New Zealand, but also my 30th anniversary of being a pastor. Because when we arrived in New Zealand and went to New Plymouth for a year to fill in for a missionary, I had never been a pastor before that. I'd done a lot of preaching, of course, on deputation, but I'd never pastored. So it's the same, 30 years in the ministry and 30 years since we got to this wonderful country. So thank you for being a wonderful flock. So James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We're going to take our title from verse 4, Perfect and Entire. Perfect and entire. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We pray that you would use your word in our hearts today in a powerful and personal way. May the Holy Spirit take it and do what needs to be done in our hearts. We open our hearts to you now. May we push aside anything that could distract us from hearing and responding to you. And may Jesus be glorified. We love you and commit this to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen. So James here gives us at least four, if you will, keys or secrets to becoming perfect and entire in your Christianity. Now that verse 4, we'll go there first. Perfect, that word perfect means complete. It means full grown. It doesn't mean sinless in the context that we read it here in the Scripture, because none of us are sinless yet. Now we are doctrinally through Jesus Christ, but we still struggle. But God wants us to be slowly perfected in our Christianity, to be more and more like Jesus, to be more full grown. And then that word entire means whole. And he wants us to also be a well-balanced, whole Christian, if you will, that we don't get caught up in going in often funny directions, but that we are a balanced and whole Christian. That is his goal for our lives. And this passage, probably more than any other passage, gives us some amazing truths of how this can happen in our lives. If you go to Hebrews 5, just quickly, verse 14, God talks about this spiritual maturity, this wholeness, this perfectness that he wants us to have. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, if you would. He says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. You see that phrase there, full age? That is the same Greek word that is translated perfect in James chapter 1. So that helps us to understand a bit more of what perfect means. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So he wants us to be perfected. While you're in Hebrews, look at chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So this is what God wants for our lives, is that we become more and more perfect in Jesus Christ, more and more mature, more and more whole in our Christian lives. So let's go back to the passage here in James 1 and see what God's going to use to make this happen for us. And the first thing we see is God wants us to have joy in temptations. So this is, if you will, a very easy earmark to see if we are maturing in our faith. Because when we do face temptations, is it usually our response to rejoice? Or to get frustrated, angry, whatever. God says that one of the signs of spiritual maturity is that when we learn that when temptation comes into our life, God allowed it. God didn't create it, but He allowed it. And we therefore need to rejoice because God is going to use it in our lives. Now, not if we succumb to it, of course. Then we just have sin and now we've got to deal with the sin. But when we are tempted, we need to learn, as he says here in verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it joy. God, remember, is perfecting us. And one of the ways he does that is through temptations. Look down at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man, he says. God pronounces a blessing on those who endure temptation. 1 Peter 1, 6, look over at that quickly if you would. Just the next book to the right. And chapter 1, verse 6. Again, look what he says. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. So God says that one of the evidences of spiritual maturity is when we learn to rejoice in temptation. That is not our natural man's response to temptation, is it? To rejoice. But it is a mature Christian's response to temptation. And we're always going to be tempted. The devil's always going to be throwing stuff at us. The world is always going to be throwing temptation at us. How do we respond? Do we say, thank you, Lord, another test to grow me, another test to mature me? Or do we say, whoa, this isn't right, this isn't fair? Or do we succumb to the temptation? Our response needs to be joy or rejoice. The Apostle Paul, you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He, just like us, faced a lot of temptations. But Paul had to learn the hard way that we need to respond properly when they happen. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he asked God to remove some things out of his life. And look what God said in verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. There's that word perfect again. My strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness. How could that be? Because when we are weak, who do we rely on? We rely on Him. Amen? And that's what Paul learned. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, I've learned something here. I've learned that I need to respond properly to temptation, and that is with joy. So let's go back to James 1, verse 3. We'll see the second evidence of spiritual maturity. And he says here, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We all need more patience. But God says He's going to develop that patience by trying our faith. Through trials. Through testing. Look at 1 Peter 5:10, if you would. Again, just the next book to the right from James. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you what? Perfect. There's that word again. After you've suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. Yes, God's going to develop us. Yes, God's going to mature us. And not only do we need to learn to have joy in temptations, but we need to have patience in trials. Patience when we're tested. Job, of course, is a beautiful example of this. In the midst of his trials, which were very intense, he said, He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job 23:10. God knows what He's doing. And God is perfecting me, essentially, is what he said. God is refining me. God is making me better. And this is God's intent in our life. Now look at Romans chapter 5, verse 3. If you would, quickly, Romans 5, 3. So God wants us to have joy in temptations, but he wants us to have patience in trials. Our response to trials is usually not initially patience, is it? It's usually anger, frustration, but it's not, okay, God, you brought this trial into my life. You have a purpose in it. I'm going to be patient and wait on you to show me what you're trying to show me, to teach me what you're trying to teach me. That's patience in tribulation or trials. But notice Romans 5:3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. Tribulation worketh patience. In Romans 12:12, God says we are to be patient in tribulation. And so another earmark or evidence of spiritual maturity, according to God's word, is that we not only learn to rejoice in temptations, but that we have patience in trials or tribulation. Again, not our natural response, is it, to either one? Temptation, we usually don't rejoice initially. And trials, we want them to be over with as soon as possible. Instead of saying, Lord, do what you want to do in my life, I'm going to wait on you. That's patience. I'm going to trust you to know that you know what you're doing and why. What's the third one? Chapter 1, verse 5 of James. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God says the third evidence of spiritual maturity is that we are getting our wisdom from God. Not from man, but from God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would, verse 16. This is the only source of true wisdom, amen, is God's word. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look at verse 17. That the man of God may be, there's that word again, perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God says that the word of God can perfect us, because the word of God is the source of true wisdom. God says, if you lack it, ask. Ask of God. And of course, while you're asking, you need to be in here. And it says, and if you ask, God will give it. God promised he will give wisdom to those that ask. He says in Proverbs 2:6, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God is always willing to give us wisdom, but we've got to ask. And if we are growing in our wisdom from God, we are maturing, we are being perfected. That's what we just read in 2 Timothy 3:17, right? That the man of God may be perfect. So we must be constantly acquiring our wisdom from God and God alone, not from man, but from God. Not from our own hearts, but from God. He is the source of true wisdom. And one of the evidences of our spiritual maturity is that we not only rejoice in tribulations and we have patience in trials, but that we are seeking our wisdom only from God. The temptation, of course, is to seek wisdom from man. And the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God says there is no wisdom. Proverbs 21:30. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. It just doesn't exist. So don't seek it in the wrong place. Seek it only from the Lord himself through his word. And then lastly, number 4 in verse 6 of James chapter 1, he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So not only do we rejoice in temptation, be patient in tribulations, gaining our wisdom only from God, but God says if we're going to be mature, we have to have this unwavering faith. He says that the contrast is to be double-minded, is to be unstable, is to be like a wave of the sea, up and down, up and down. In our faith. That's not what God wants. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3:10. Paul here writing to the church at Thessalonica. And one of the things he mentions is their faith. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul said, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. There's that word perfect again. In other words, we want your faith to be perfected. We want your faith to be unwavering. Now, faith is just another word for trust, isn't it? God says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We cannot please God without faith. And so if we doubt God, what he's saying is we're going to get nowhere. If we're like this man, like a wave of the sea, if we're unstable, if we're double-minded, we're not going to get anywhere. One of the earmarks of true spiritual maturity, of growing into perfection and being perfect and entire, is that we trust God wholeheartedly like a child does. Childlike faith. In other words, I know God can do this, and I know God will. Amen? Don't question God. And don't be afraid to pray big, by the way. But look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. This is what God's after. He's after Christians that are maturing, that are becoming perfect and entire, as we saw in verse 4. And he wants us to learn when the temptations come, rejoice. Don't get angry, don't get frustrated, but rejoice. He wants us to learn that when the trials come, be patient. Wait on God. Don't get angry or frustrated. Know that God has a plan. And he wants us to be constantly acquiring our wisdom only from God, His Word, not from man. And then lastly, he wants us to have this unwavering faith. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is trusting God wholeheartedly, knowing that God can and will take care of us, answer our prayers, that God is a God of answered prayer. God is a God of power. God is a God of miracles. With no wavering, as he says there, he that wavereth is a man that is double-minded, and a man, as it says in verse 7, who will not receive anything of the Lord. If we waver in our faith, we're hindering our prayers. Because that's really the beginning of answered prayer with God, is believing that God will do it. When Jesus was on earth, he said in Matthew 21, all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. He just put in that little word there, believing. In other words, yes, I'm going to answer your prayers, but you got to believe. You can't doubt God. Because when we do doubt, as we read in Hebrews 11, 6, we can't please Him. So God here gives us just these four simple but very profound evidences of spiritual maturity. And it's a good check for our own lives, isn't it? When temptation comes into my life, what's my initial response? Is it rejoicing or is it frustration? Anger, succumbing. When trials come into my life, am I patient? Do I know that God has a purpose, that God brought this into my life because He's going to grow me and teach me and perfect me and make me more like Jesus? Or do I get angry and say, this isn't fair? And when God gives us opportunities to grow in our wisdom, by being in His Word, by being in church, do we avail ourselves of that? Or have we been allowing the devil to whisper in our ear and seeking wisdom from man? And then faith, childlike faith, no wavering, no double-mindedness. I know God can do this. It reminds me of Daniel's three friends. They said, O king, we're not going to worship your idol. And we know God can deliver us from the fiery furnace. We don't know if He will or not, but we know He can. And we're willing to die for that belief. They didn't know they were going to survive the fiery furnace, but they weren't going to bow down to the idol. That's faith, isn't it? Remember, faith is action. That's action. Being willing to be cast into that fiery furnace, now that's faith. And they said, we know God can do it because He's all powerful. We just don't know what His will is. He might want us to go to heaven, and that's okay too. But we're still going to do right. And we need to have that kind of faith all the time. I know God can do this. I don't know when or how, but I know He will. But to question God and to doubt God and His power and His ability to do things in our life, that just hinders the answered prayers. So we need to have joy in temptation. We need to have patience in trials. We need to be seeking our wisdom only from God and be asking for it every day. And we need to have this unwavering faith. It says, this is a man, verse 4, that is perfect and entire. It's mature, of full age, and whole. Not piecemeal, but whole in their Christianity. Amen? This is what God wants from all of us, that we will be perfect and entire. Let's pray. Lord, how we love You. And we thank You for speaking to our hearts from Your precious Word this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would respond properly to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And Lord, be willing to look at our own Christian walk and be real about where we stand, about the areas where we need to mature more in our faith, be more perfect for You, and recognize that You're constantly perfecting us through what You allow in our lives. Lord, may we be that kind of Christian who is constantly growing. And I pray that we'll be honest with the Holy Ghost here in a moment in our invitation time. And also pray, Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, that they would recognize Jesus said, you must be born again, that He died and rose again to save us from our sins, and they'd be willing to come to Christ and repent and accept what He did for them and be saved today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.